into the promised land. Our God is a God of miracles. Say, He is a God of miracles. Can anybody give testimony to the miraculous power of God working in your life? Now, you should raise your hand even if you're not sure, because I'm telling you, whether you know it or not, the miraculous power of God is working in your life. There are things that have not touched your life because God moved miraculously and sovereignly to handle things that you and I would never know about. Back in the day, they would say he is keeping us from danger seen and unseen, you know, and all of that's true. And so we would do well to acknowledge the miraculous power of God working in our lives, whether we pray and see a miracle or we think we've never seen one, because the miraculous power of God, Jeff, is moving all the time. Amen. Moving all the time. And so I want to continue on with this thought today of provision is connected to location. Shout location. Location. Cooperation. Cooperation. And obedience. Okay, now, I said shout, so I want you to just say it one more time with me. Provision is tied to location, cooperation, and obedience. So you'll see there it says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That's out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Talked a little bit last week or the week before about Abraham, how that Abraham was able to see and had faith for provision. Now, God had already spoke to him and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He had told him that I'm going to bless you, and through you will be multitudes that will be blessed. And then when he gave him his firstborn son, he said, I want you to offer that son up. It's in that passage of scripture there in Genesis 22, 7 and 8, where Abraham and Isaac are on their way up to the mountain that God's going to show him. And Isaac recognizes that there is no sacrifice. There's no offering. And this is what Abraham says to him. God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide for himself. God will provide for himself. When we read a little later in that passage of scripture, what we see is God does just that through a ram that's stuck in the thicket. There's the scenario of Abraham ready to offer up his son, and right in the moment, the angel stops him. The angel stops him. And I want to reiterate this point again, because one of the things I said last week is that you cannot just live your life out of what he said. You must be willing to also consider what he's saying. There is the said season, and then there's the saying season. Had Abraham just went on what God said, he would have killed Isaac. But right in the moment, say right in the moment. And this is a key for unleashed provision, because as you and I are walking out life, as we're walking out what we believe God has called us to do, there will be the moments that he speaks and the moments that you want to be sensitive to. As we were making plans to come here, there was a sensitivity, at least I know I had, to hearing him and to continue to hear him every step of the process. Now that we're here, it's the same thing. It's the same way. See, sometimes you think when you get on the other side of it, then that's a good time just to stop. When in fact, you need to do it all the more. You need to be more intentional about what you hear once you enter into the thing that God has promised to bring you into. When it comes to provision, there's the three areas that I want to focus on and look at a couple of passages of scripture to kind of bring the point home when I talk about location, cooperation, and obedience. Let me also say this. There is a kingdom dimension that we must learn to operate out of and live out of, a kingdom dimension. And I keep reiterating it because it's a reality for me now, and I believe for many of you it's a reality, that within the kingdom, every need is met. Provision has already been made. Remember, one of the words for provision or statements is prepared beforehand. Say beforehand. Think about it like this. Before you were born, going back to Jeremiah now, when he spoke to Jeremiah and said, before you were born, before you were conceived, I knew you and called you. to be a prophet to the nations. That means that before Jeremiah was even conceived, everything that would be needed for him to fulfill what he would be birthed into was already provided, already stored up, already there. So if you can think about it in a way where the analogy of having a bank account, and all the resources you need are in that account. You just need access to it. Now, the access for us is our faith in action. Let me say it again. Our access to the unleashed provision is in our faith in action. Now, when I talk about unleashed provision, I'm not just talking about the daily needs being met. That's a given. Say that's a given. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking to them and he says, the birds don't worry. The lilies of the field, they're beautiful. There's no toil there. He says, are you more precious than those things? Absolutely. Then don't give thought to how you're going to be cared for. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Meaning that as you focus on the kingdom and focus on right standing in the kingdom, meaning everything in your life lines up with the kingdom principles, lines up with kingdom living, lines up with the word of God, then everything else must come in agreement, must come into compliance with this word concerning your life. Is this making sense to you? And so one of the examples that I was thinking about, Jesus kept demonstrating and desiring to show them how his kingdom operated and the plane and the dimension in which his kingdom operated, which wasn't the natural realm. Now, we live in these bodies and we live in the world, and so there are things that we need to know in order to live here. But there is another dimension that will bring to you the unleashed resources when you need them. Say, when I need them. Abraham didn't need the ram in the thicket until he got up there and realized he wasn't going to kill his son. Matter of fact, it says the ram was behind him, which means he didn't see it. It had to be pointed out to him. And God has a way of pointing out resources and unleashed provision at the moment you need it. Sometimes it needs to stay hidden. Sometimes it needs to stay hidden so the enemy can't get to it. Sometimes it needs to stay hidden so you can't get to it. Because sometimes we get resources and we can do with them things that God never intended. Sometimes the resources that come to you are for the person sitting next to you. Just look at them and say, I think you got something for me. Has God been speaking to you lately about me? What's in your wallet? But there's an example of Jesus helping them understand, while in the world, you must conduct yourself relative to the laws and the culture or the customs that you're in, but you can still do it at a higher plane. So you remember when somebody comes to Peter and says, do you all pay taxes? Do you all honor Caesar? And so Peter goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, he says, who's on that coin? So then he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God's. And then he says to Peter, this is just so incredible, but he's demonstrating the unleashed provision of his kingdom. He didn't say, hey, go reach in the bag, get a couple coins, go pay that. He said, go down and get a fish. And the first fish, say the first fish. He didn't say, keep going till you get a fish. He said, the first fish, there'll be coins, two coins in his mouth. Pay your taxes and pay mine. What's he demonstrating? Provision. But he's demonstrating it on a kingdom level. Sometimes we are believing for provision, but we're looking at the wrong source, the wrong vehicle. You're looking for provision, and you're thinking it's going to come through your job. Thank God for the job. Thank God for the raises or the increases or those things that come with it. But is it possible that God can unleash provision to you that has nothing to do with that job? See, that's what he's demonstrating to them. He's saying, look, you don't have to do this the conventional way. And our God is not conventional in any kind of way. He's not conventional in any kind of way. And so there has to be this temperance or this healthy tension in the way that we navigate through things. There is the planning, there is the preparation, there is the stewardship, there is being abreast of the facts. And then there's the element of the kingdom that can supersede all of that to accomplish what God has purposed to do when in our world, in our space, in our bank account, it doesn't add up. He's saying, but I got you. Go on down to the river, go on down to the sea. The first fish to pull, you pull up, you're going to find a coin in its mouth. Go ahead and pay taxes and let's keep rolling. Everything he showed them was to increase their faith and help them recognize how his kingdom operates. Everything he has shown you, everything that has happened in your life that you are willing to step back and not see it just of what you went through, but think about what it's for, what this process has produced in me, puts you in a better place, puts you on the other side of it. Allows you to be able to believe when no one else can believe. Allows you to stay in a place of peace even though it seems like the provision isn't there, when it seems like you just keep going in this cycle. But one day you know you're going to break out of it. The key often is location, cooperation, and obedience. And so it's found in 1 Kings 17, familiar passage of scripture for some of us, that I want to focus on location and cooperation. It's in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16. And it says this, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years. It was 3 years. Except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Say provision at the brook. Provision at the brook. Meaning, if you're going to get taken care of, you got to get to the location that I'm telling you, because that's where the ravens are going to show up. Isn't it amazing just to get the visual or try to wrap your mind around how sovereign God is, that he would say, now you can get to the brook, there'll be water there for you to drink, but that's where I've told the ravens to go. Now I need you to think about this in light of what I'm saying in terms of God being able to do things beyond the things that you and I just normally give ourselves to in terms of our work and those kinds of things. That just as God spoke to the ravens, God can be speaking to someone about you. And it's a matter of right place, location, and cooperation. And obedience. It says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which was east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him meat and drink in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Say provision. Come on, say divine provision. So he gets there, and every day he is fed, and he drinks from the brook. But then it says this, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now, even though he's walking in this supernatural place, he is still subject to the same conditions of everybody else. And that's not unlike us. The Bible says for us to be in the world, but not of the world. Just simply meaning that we're to live out of this kingdom place. And so as those who are impacted by the fact that there is no rain and that they're in a drought, he's impacted by that too. Except God is his source. God is your source. So even though they talk about layoffs or they talk about recessions or they talk about this dropping or this changing, that information you may need to know, but don't allow yourself to respond or react the way others react who don't have that relationship with the sovereign God. Because he's there and then the brook dries up. Of course, because there's no rain. There's no source. It's amazing he stayed until it dried up. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can look at that. Because sometimes, like, you see the handwriting on the wall here. It's drying up. We need to make a move. We need to make a move. We need to make a move. Except that he wasn't willing to move until God told him what to do next. See, it takes the same grace to wait on God as it does to act on something he said. It takes the same grace to wait on God as it does to act on something that he said. You know, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Now, he's got to see that brook drying up. He's recognized, I'm going to get one more sip, and then that's about it. But just like God spoke to him because God knew his situation, God is speaking to us because he knows our situation. He's speaking to you because he knows your situation. Location, cooperation, obedience. Come on, say location, cooperation, obedience. So it goes on and says this. Now we're at that word again, not just what he said, but what he's saying. Preceding word. He said this, get to the brook, because there I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Then he's at the brook. Had he kept going on what he said, he'd have died at the brook. But now it's not just what he said. What's he saying now? What's he saying now? The preceding word was, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, because which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide provision. I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you. But there. So he's going from Cherith to Zarephath. It's about 85 miles. It's 85 miles. It's like you just going over on 71 right there about that King's Island exit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody's from here. That King's Island exit. And just start walking up 71 to Columbus. Think about it. It wasn't no car. No Lyft, no Uber, but get to Zarephath. But God, you know that's a far way off. Yeah, but if you want to live, you'll get to Zarephath. So he makes the trek all the way there. The thing about unleashed provision is, in this season, unleashed provision is not going to be just about you. As a matter of fact, It may not be about you at all. It's going to be about others. Because as the story goes, he said, I've commanded a widow woman to provide for you. He walks those 70, 85 miles, whatever it is, and he gets there. And when he gets there, he sees a woman gathering up sticks. And he says, would you please bring me something to drink? Please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, the water, he called and said to her, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me, my son, that we may eat it and die. So now the scenario changes because, see, now it's not just about Elijah. Now it's about the widow woman and her son. One of the reasons why I believe God is bringing this word to us in this season is because it's not just about us. It's about the folk that live out here on 12th Street, 13th, 14th, 11th, 10th, all over this area who are in need of God's outpouring in their lives. But what God looks for is someone to partner with to do it. That's why he picked Abraham. I need someone to partner with now to begin to turn this thing around. Anybody in here saying, I'll be a partner? Yeah. Come on, anybody here saying, I'm already a partner. I'm a partner right now. And I'm willing to position myself. I'm not talking about just in the natural. I'm talking about in the spirit for God to be able to move. I'm talking about in your prayer life, in your worship life, in your word life that allows you to be prepared for God to be able to speak to you. You hear him, and then the resources flow to you, and you know what to do with those resources. There was a spirit of poverty and lack in this area. It runs throughout this city. I don't care what side of the city you're on. But it's a spirit and it's a mentality that must be broken. But before you and I can help anybody else, it's got to be broken off of us. It's got to be broken off of us. And the prophet lived in a place where his relationship with God was so strong that even when the woman came back and said, I only have enough for me and my son, we're going to die. He didn't pay attention to that. He didn't say, oh, you know what? You know, you guys go ahead and eat. God told me there's a widow and apparently you're not the one. Because he said he commanded a widow woman to provide for me. And if that's all you got, God bless you. I'm going to wait right here by the gate and see who else shows up because there's got to be another one. Now, hear me when I say this to you. I got 7 minutes. God wants to work through you to pull others out of their situation. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, use me. I'm gathering a few sticks, going to fix this food so that we can eat and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as I said, but make me a little cake from it first. Say faith. Yeah, first. Now it's like, now he's saying, so you need to activate your faith right now. Make one for me first and go bring it to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Say game changer. That was it right there. Everything up to that point was conversation. But when he said, for thus saith the Lord, that changed it all. That shifted the conversation. Up to that point, But when he said, for thus saith the Lord, see, when you got a thus saith the Lord, that's what you stand on. That's what you go with. That's what you take to the bank and sit there till they tell you, I'm going to help you get this deal done. Because when you got a thus saith the Lord, you ain't got to concern yourself with how that thus saith the Lord comes together. You just need to stay in the place of this is what he told me, and I believe this is what he's going to do. And his faith activated her faith that caused her to go in and do just what he said. For thus saith the Lord, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Provision, say provision. Come on, say provision. And then comes the obedience. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Come on, shout obedience. Obedience. Come on, shout obedience. Obedience. In this season of unleashed provision, you're going to have to be aware of these keys I'm giving you. Location, cooperation, obedience. See, the woman, the widow, had to be willing to cooperate. She had to be willing to be obedient. Meaning once the prophet said, for thus saith the Lord, now he's prophesying, and this isn't just my word talking to you, this is a word for you too. Because today you thought would be your last day. And for some of you, you keep going through the season and cycle of thinking it's not going to get any better than this. But I'm giving you a thus saith the Lord right now. That the days ahead of you will be your best days as you press into and give yourself to all that God is speaking to you in this season. And if you will settle in your heart and mind to find that location, and now hear me, I'm talking about the location in him. I'm talking about the place in him, not the place that you've known, not the place that your grandmother, your grandfather, or your parents. I'm talking about your place in him. Location, location, location. And you get in that location in him, it's going to set you in the place. And then set your heart and mind to cooperate with the word. Cooperate with the word. When you hear it, even if you don't understand it, be willing to cooperate. And then do like what Mary said to the servants at the very first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. See, the challenge that the widow had, but she worked her way through it, is Elijah got a word. She didn't get a word. At least didn't get a word when he got a word. See, it wasn't like he got a word. Over here, she gets a word and says it's going to be a while because he's walking up 71. But when he gets here, just know he's the guy. She didn't get that memo. She didn't get that word. But she did get a word once the prophet showed up and said, for thus saith the Lord. You think your life is over. You think this is it. But thus says the Lord. I'm saying to you, thus says the Lord. This is not the end. This is not your end. But you got to find that location. You got to find that location in him. Not the one you've been living in. You got to find that new location in him. And the Holy Spirit working in you will bring you into that place. He will bring you into that place. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Obedience. And she and he and her household ate many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Provision. Provision. provision.